Story time. The time during the week where we talk about what happened during our campaign. Our favorite moments, what we learned about ourselves, and what we learned about each other. Please join us now as we enjoy story time.
So Chris, we played in the Adventures of the Solarian Islands again, and we had left off that we were at the bounty list. And we had some decisions to make. We had to decide if the people that we just saved, that we were going to stay here and we were going to train them to fight in presumably this upcoming big war that's going to happen. We just feel this war looming on the horizon. Or were we going to try and find the two weapons that we knew, that we believed were still in whatever place they were resting at, and that we believe that Harlan Planer hadn't got to. Because our thought was that Harlan Planer had found two of the weapons, and they were not going to be recovered.
Yeah, and they also said that there was potentially a third thing that you could do, which was go out and sabotage barracks Harlan or things like that. Yep. Like, try and bring down his strength before he launches a full-on assault. So you guys ended up deciding that you thought it would be best to go after the weapons.
Yep.
Because you could have people stay behind. There was enough people that were good enough to train people that you could promote some people to stay behind and train up some of the potential magic users, the cast cantrips. You don't know how good that's going to do against people, but it could do something. There was another guy who could train in archery and sword fighting skills and things like that. So you promoted a couple people to stay who were a part of the bounty list already to train up the people to fight, which got them out of their cells, helped, you know, just alleviate, I think, some of the stress that Bors was feeling about having people in cells and in, you know, trapped in rooms and things like that. And you guys decided to go after the weapons, and Ashtar told you that it was in the ruins on the Axeblade Island, which is an island that is really kind of small compared to the island that you're on now, but it was quite a ways away from the main island. So you had to try and figure out what way you were going to go. Were you going to take an underwater vessel? Those haven't worked really well in the past for you guys. Were you going to try and steal a ship from up above?
Yeah,
were you going
to try like and saying like, what do you guys want to do? What do you want? Like, here's some options. It's going to be quite a bit of travel, blah, blah, blah.
Yep.
And I think this was the classic, like, which I've been here before, the like DM, you plan the night, you're like, all right, they'll have a little bit of traveling to do, and then a player goes, oh, but DM, you've leveled us up a lot, I have a spell that can do this. And of course, our druid, Howie Chuchip, had a spell called Windwalk, and he was able to basically turn us all into gaseous forms.
There was quite a lot of things like that happened tonight.
And basically, we're sitting there doing, like, math, trying to figure out the distance that we could travel, and we could travel really fast.
How fast? I think we calculated out you could travel, like, 68 miles an hour in this Windwalk form, so, and it was crazy.
I think it was even higher than that. I think it was, like, 200-something.
It was up there quite a ways.
It was, like, quite a lot. And so we decided, DM, any plans you have for travel? Forget about those.
Yeah, maybe you could go steal a ship or something.
All the gaseous forms, and we're just like booking it across the water to this island.
What was supposed to take you like 10 hours to get to took you quite a bit.
Decision weight in it. It was just like, gaseous form. Nobody will bother us then.
Yep. So you guys made it to the island. He had also talked about he has a spell where if he's seen a tree before, he can transport like to any tree or plant or whatever. So you guys made it to the island. You found the ruins, which were on the opposite side of the island from where you guys entered. And you saw this fortress, this old abandoned fortress, walls all the way around it, forest just bumping, almost starting to overtake some of the walls. The buildings are kind of collapsed at this point in time. There's some that are 2, 3, 4 stories tall. And I said, you come to this courtyard. There's like an old ruined fountain in the middle, cobblestone on the ground, and there's these three buildings. How do you guys want to you have no idea what's going to happen at this point in time. These look to be the three main buildings of this little fortress here. What do you want to do? And you all were like, well, we're in Windwalk form. We can just travel really fast through these things and see if there's anything in here. And so you guys did that. You traveled through a lot of these buildings, and there really wasn't a lot. Like, there was some that were like old guard rooms. There was one that was a barracks. There was one that was a stable. They all had like dead people or dead animals or, you know, just these things. Like, it looked like it had just been abandoned or something really bad happened. had happened here at this point in history. And you guys all found a very similar thing on the main floor. You guys all entered through the top because you figured if there's anything in the front, they're going to expect people to come in through the front of the building.
Well, it was in the basement, right?
Yeah, it was in the basement, yep. Basement of the building. And you saw a hole that was about 10 yep. foot by 10 foot, kind of either broken through the blocks on the floor or cut into the dirt or floorboards ripped open. And you guys were like, well, we can move really fast. It's kind of dark. One of the groups like decided to get out of the form because you can, you know, go in and out at will. It takes like a minute to get in and out of. Cast a light on himself. So then there's just yep. this glowing cloud flying around at like 200 miles an hour.
To the Night Vale podcast with right. the glow cloud. right, All hail yeah. the glow cloud.
All hail the glow cloud. Yes. Yeah, you guys decided to just fly through there as fast as possible. Some of you had night vision or dark vision, so you yep. didn't need that sort of thing. And you all saw very similar things as you were going through the tunnels. Two of the group saw a flying cloud that was on, like, that was lit up.
Basically, and you were
like,
oh, well. We all met up.
Yeah, yep. you all met up in the middle. And you guys discussed what you wanted to do. How were you going to go about this? Because you were looking for a weapon, and all you saw on the ground were... Well, what did you guys see on the ground?
Disgusting creatures. I've never had a chance to use them. I knew what
Neither
they were
I,
once
really.
You described them, but we saw Gricks. Can you describe the grossness of what a Grick looks
yeah,
like
so
to those
look,
who don't know?
They look like a really massive maggot, mm-hmm. essentially is what they look like. But I kind of described
massive
it as like you see
maggots.
These big, like medium to large size maggots crawling around on the ground. They're not doing anything. They don't detect you. But the minute that they did start to detect, when somebody started talking, once they got into a room, the like one end of it opened up into like four tentacles that were barbed at the end. And there was this little nasty beak
yeah.
in the middle. they like had these hiss. There was just mucus like dripping from the tentacles. They're pretty gross looking things in the
not
monster
something you
menu.
Want as a pet.
No, right. Yeah, they are not pets. But yeah, so you guys found these things and you were like, well, what are we going to do about this? We can't really do anything in gaseous form. And we can't really turn into our normal selves because we're incapacitated for a minute while it's happening. And so what did you guys decide to do? What did Bors decide to do first that the rest of the group decided to follow
I
after?
I decided to use the fact that I was in gaseous form and go inside of one of these Gricks. I think somebody else decided that they were going
Xavier
to do that.
I think Xavier did because
I don't think that was my idea.
He wanted to travel yeah. inside because they wanted to see yep. if they could find it first.
And so he went inside of this Grick in gaseous form and came out the other end.
Yep.
And we
like
were we decided this is the way that we will see if these Gricks have eaten this sword, this rapier. And so I decided that the best way to go about taking care of these Gricks is to go inside it, transform back into myself and rip it to shreds
yeah.
from the inside.
Basically,
which
yeah.
basically made combat like it's like, all right, if something's like getting ripped apart from the inside with a huge axe, then there's no
especially
HP,
with,
right? There's
with,
no like
especially with how
points.
Low of
it's
a challenge rating
dead.
This was. I was like, yeah, it makes sense. Like if you were to get swarmed by these, it might be a different story, but you're inside one, turning back into something that's probably the same size as them, you're gonna yeah. explode
like
the
maybe
insides
an ancient dragon
easily.
Survives that kind of thing, but even that would take more hit points than normal. Like you're attacking it from the inside.
If you
inside,
would even
right?
survive yeah. being if, inside yeah. of an ancient
would
dragon.
Would you? Probably
right.
not.
Yeah.
But so, and all that time I'm taking acid damage, but I'm a pretty high level barbarian. So I'm just like, that's fine.
Yeah.
I'll just rip this thing to shreds.
Yep.
So it's fun bursting out of the belly of a Grick.
And then you would like, you would basically, you didn't necessarily like rip the skin apart. And then you would turn back into the gas form and just be like this deflated Grick on the ground that all the other Gricks would then start to eat because they saw more food.
And then Xavier, whose idea this was, he went inside one of these Gricks and he found this sword.
Mm-hmm.
He did the same thing I had done, took a book out of a page out of my book, ripped out of this Grick, and then we all in gaseous form booked it out of here with Solas having his rapier
yep.
To fight the demon Alzog.
Yep.
And where do we go from there?
Yeah, you guys decided, well, there was another area that we could go that we had been given by Ashtar Vesh. Where the other weapon was, it was called the Tower of the Elkshire, which was on the island where all of the things with the drug lord and the Mount Valo temple and all that stuff had happened in the past, just on the completely opposite side, a place that you guys had never been. And so you flew super fast once again across these waters. I think before that you decided to rest so that you could have enough time. So we calculated and it was like, God, it's not supposed to be something you could get in a day with how much time you have left. So you guys rested. did it again, made it there in like 6 hours. So your 8 hour limit was almost up and you decided to land on the top of this tower instead of entering through once again the front door like most people would normally do.
Right.
And on top of this tower, you guys landed and you saw what looked to be almost like an observatory from the top. Up on the observation deck, there were these spy glasses that had were looking out in different directions all from the top of this tower. Yep. And you guys were just like, all right, well, there's a hole in the middle with a ladder coming up. Guess we should go in there first. And you were still all in gaseous form. You came down into this opening and you guys saw a room that was filled with people in robes of all different kinds. They didn't really notice you at first. They were like looking through books or looking at items that were all out on the tables. There's bookshelves all over the place, papers all over the place. And I believe it was Solus, or maybe it was Caesar, that's like changed out of form and was like, hello? Is anybody like gonna pay attention to us? And at that point in time, they all turned around, opened their robes, pulled out wands, and pointed them at you. And they all knew that you were there at that point in time because you're not invisible, but you look like floating gas in a tower that doesn't look
we're
normal.
Weird floating farts, basically.
Yeah, essentially. Eventually everybody kind of just changed out of shape and they weren't hostile. They didn't kill you right away. They were just like, what are you doing here? Like, this is really strange. The guy that kind of took charge that was in this room, was like, well, we have your weapon. We have it here, but you can't have it. Do you remember why you couldn't have it exactly?
Well, I can only describe what I know. Maybe you'll give the listeners a little bit more insight into this group that was called the Order of the Elkshire. But basically, what we gathered is that this order was a group of people who collected powerful items and artifacts, and they brought them to this tower, and they kept them here, for all of time.
Yep.
Never, like, basically they described it as like this: no, you can't have your sword, whether it's your sword or not. That sword will never, ever leave this tower again.
It's a place that, like,
keep it here forever.
Like, world altering weapons or really, really powerful weapons that have a history of destruction or the possibility for a future history of destruction are brought and held by these people.
This struck me as a lawful, neutral group. If you ever met one.
I think Caleb's exact words were, wow, this is really cool. I really think these people's cause is really noble, but I hate them in this moment because they won't give us what we're looking for. And so a lot of you guys wanted to like fight. You wanted to, you know, just. You wanted to smash things. You wanted to kill things, like give us our stuff back. And I basically described it as luckily Zyvir knew a little bit of knowledge about these people. And he described, like, they've been around for 1,400, 1,500 years at this point. No weapon has ever left this place, despite people trying. Like, people have come with whole armies and never left with anything they were ever looking for. Caleb, at one point in time, asked, well, has anybody ever brought a weapon out of here? Have you ever lost a weapon? Has a weapon ever left this tower? And I basically just said to him, a weapon has never fallen from our grasp before. And he was like, I think what he was trying to get at is maybe the weapons actually aren't here. And he would be correct in thinking that. Huh. These people have actually created their own plane of existence where nobody else knows how to get there except for these people, and they store the weapons there. So it's only the people that are there know the spell, how to get to the plane that exists where they keep all these weapons. So it was one of those things. I think it was how he went through and was like, well, let's see if I can't find where they keep them. And he couldn't find anything within this tower. Like, there was nothing that would give away where the weapons were. It's because they're not actually in the tower. They're in their control, but not in the tower. So you guys eventually got to a point where it was like, well, we can't do anything to get these weapons. It seems like it's a really lost cause. At one point in time, Zyvir, he was told by Valfiel Silvermoon, who was the female elf that came up. She said, you know a lot about this place. We've been watching you, because apparently the only way that they recruit people is through being asked. Because that you guys had asked at one point in time, well, what if we joined? Could we then access some of the weapons? And they were like, no, you have to be asked to join this group. And so you guys are like, well, there's nothing we can really do. I guess we'll go up to the top. You guys asked if you could sleep on the top for the night to regain like your spells for the day so you could fly back and use your wind walk again. And during the night, you noticed a couple people that would come up and look into the spy glasses, take notes down, and then walk back down. But they didn't appear to be, they appeared to be looking out over a vast ocean out in front of them. So you guys thought that was really weird. Maybe these spy glasses aren't actually just spy glasses for the land. Maybe they're a little bit more powerful than that. Because I think somebody wanted to take one. I think it was somebody wanted to take one and bring it with them. And they couldn't like get couldn't it off it, of yeah. the, yeah, you couldn't move it off of the stand that it was a part of. And you guys eventually windwalked back and went back to the bounty list. And some very interesting things happened in the bounty list that you probably didn't expect to happen when you were getting back.
So we kind of got there. We settled in, blah, blah, blah. Everything's normal. You saw the training
was going well.
Yep. Everything's normal until, can you describe the area that we're in?
Yeah,
to the listeners, and so, I can explain what exactly happened.
So it's like in the Christian Bale movie, Equilibrium, where there's a city underneath of a city. And on one end, you have a big glass window out looking into the ocean. You can see the ships above. You can see the piers, all this, that. The other thing, fish swimming out around. People are just kind of enjoying, quote unquote, enjoying, because you're kind of in a time of preparation for war at this point in time. And all of a sudden, there starts to be a commotion out by the glass and people start running away and screaming as if something bad is happening at the other end. And you all look up and what do you guys see?
One of these underwater vessels, these submarines coming right at the glass. I knew these things were bad news. First of all, who the heck built this place? This is the worst design ever. But it drives right into the glass. The glass starts cracking. Water is flooding in. People are screaming. And we're like, we need to get these people the heck out of here.
You guys
we
had
a discussion about, like, what are we doing? Like, we could, like, Howie was like, I could just transform us all into gaseous form and get us out of here. We'll be all okay. And I know for myself, I was not okay with that. I was actually, I didn't know what was planned here. But I was resigned to, I'm getting these people out, which was a big thing for Magleth because I think it was the fact that he looked around and he saw kids and he remembers like his background. And he, although he doesn't really like people and he's very like abrasive, like kids kind of still have a soft spot in his heart. And so he was like, I'm going to try to get these people out, which I'm glad I had help because I'm pretty stupid.
Yeah, right.
And so a couple of them, us, were like, no, we're getting people out of here. And if we die doing it, I know I was okay with that. And so a couple of us started to try to get the people out. Hanta was really adamant about trying to get people out. Some of the people were really frustrating. They were trying to like pack away their things. Hanta's like, no, 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 we have to go. And some of them were like arguing with him and still packing like their goods. And Hanta was super gracious and like helped them start packing. I'm like, just grab them. And like,
he's also really short.
Yeah.
So water is flooding in,
which eventually I found him. And I found this one jerk who was trying to pack up his whole place. And I punched him in the face and knocked him out. And I threw him over my shoulder. Hanta jumped up and jumped into my backpack, did the Yoda thing again. And we start booking it out of there. Caesar's leading people out. Solus is leading people out. Meanwhile, Zyvir and Howie Chuchip are using spells to keep the crack and the water back while people can get out. And eventually they can no longer hold it back.
Yeah.
They both are able to polymorph into creatures. Howie transforms into a giant octopus. And he had the thought, I need to find out who's
Because he can totally breathe. So I had no idea what was going to happen in this moment. I was like, the whole glass
just
is going to break.
Introduce danger and see what happens.
I don't know what's going to happen.
That's
and
a great
so
way
I was
to
like,
DM.
I was like, they might lose everybody here except for them or anybody that's magic users. I have no idea. I'm going to present it and see what the heck happens. And Howie was like, it wasn't even something where it's like, okay, I need quite a few minutes to think about it. He's like, nope, I cast this spell. I can hold back this much water. I'm going to try. You know, Zyvir was like helping people move quicker and things like that. And they got to this point where it was like, okay, is everybody out? Like, we've held back the water as much as we can. It's kind of getting up to us now. And you were like, yes, let it go.
And let it go.
Right. Yeah.
Let it go.
And so they let it go. And they went down to the underwater transport and pulled out a very familiar looking person. They dragged him back to the shore. They realized that in this moment, and I told everybody, I was like, this is Barani Redfist. He is the guy that's been your sub driver multiple times before. What do you do in this moment? And Tyler was like, well, I reincarnate him. And luckily, you know, with reincarnate, you can just like reincarnate into something totally crazy.
It usually is a different race.
It usually is.
He went from
hill dwarf to mountain dwarf.
Different hair, really funny. A little bit shorter.
I was like, he's got red beard, red hair. It's now brown hair, brown beard. So he's like, what wizardry is this? And they asked him, like, do you remember anything that happened? He's like, no, I don't remember anything that happened.
If he's telling the truth.
And that was where we left off for the night, was the bounty list being destroyed, everybody that's inside being displaced, some people for a second time. And we don't know what happens when you guys all run out of that tunnel. It may have been a setup the whole time. It may have been a sheer number. I mean, it could be anything that happens. It could be you guys are scot-free, like you just find somewhere else to hide. But I guess we'll find out
next time.
Next time we play, and next time we have another story time.
Thanks for listening to this week's story time. We hope you've enjoyed these moments from our campaigns, stories about our characters and what they have done within our world. We hope that you have enjoyed your time here, and we hope that you come back again next week for another edition of Story Time.